Raising Playful Tots, show number 114. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Raising Playful Tots. I'm glad you could stop by today. My name is Melitza. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids. And that we can introduce a new play idea. If you're new to the show, welcome, and hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room, so come join us as we play with shaving cream on the patio glass, thanks to Happy Hooligans. Last week's show, I shared an interview with Stephanie Cooper about Alpha Blocks. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show, I'm excited to be talking to Cara Fleck, editor of SimpleKids.net and Rocking Granola. Cara's like many of us. She's a big fan of learning and playing through listening. She's got some audio places for us and our children to listen to. I hope you'll stick around. Thanks. I'll be right back after this short break.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me. Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. They have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Today I'm talking to Cara Fleck, editor of SimpleKids.net. She's a wife, a mother of four living in Indiana. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots, Cara.
Oh, good. Thanks for having me.
It was probably last year that all the boys in our house got one of those radio CD player things that you have in your room. And we got them at a car boot sale because you can get the CD and you can get the cassette deck still in some of these older players. And of course, we've got story CDs, we've got story cassette tapes. You can find tons of these types of things at the moment, all a really good price, and the kids absolutely love listening to them. So we've got about two or three stacked up in the garage in case the first ones that they're using break down because they're really old. And so they've got those in their room. They're boys share a room, so one of them in one room and one in the other. And my kids are 8, 5, and 3 when they first got their own CD player. I remember how it was such a big deal for me when I got my first one when I was about 10, or eons ago. I was just curious about you. What do you do with your children? Because you have four. How old were they when they got theirs, if they have them? And how do they listen?
That's a great question. We are just now kind of getting into that with my oldest, who is 10, where she got an iPod player, a little MP3 player, last year when she turned 10 for her 10th birthday. And she's pretty good and responsible about taking care of it. But we're pretty old-fashioned in this house that our main stereo is the CD player that my husband and I bought shortly after we got married in the living room. But we have a lot of talks about being careful and being responsible with the CD player. It's not that easy with little hands and little fingers. So we're moving a little more toward more digital music. But yeah, I would say that. And I like your idea of secondhand for cassette player. My parents have actually the cassette player that we had when I was growing up. And we have a lot of we sing silly songs, cassettes and things from their house that we like to listen to too.
Yeah, I understand that completely. We have a CD player from when we got married that's still out, and I think we're still mourning the death of it, really, because our older two children were happy to listen to what was on there, but they never touched it. They never went anywhere near it. They just knew that music kind of came from above at this in this lovely place. But our youngest one, who's 4 now, he's our first child to put things into everything. You know, remember when we used to talk about video players and people used to put sandwiches and stuff like that in there? Well, this is my last child. And so he has managed to jam our CD player, and we were so sad about it. And we still think that we can resurrect it. So it still sits there in our living room as an ornament now, I think. The radio will play, but we just can't get it to open because he's actually put two CDs in together. You know how you can do that?
Yeah.
So we're really sad about it, but we'll have to get past that, I think, and just buy a new one. I mean, we have iPods now, and so we can listen to those, and we do it that way. But oh, I really miss the CD player, so I understand. Completely understand.
And for my husband and I, so much of the music that we listened to, you know, when we were dating, things are still on CD. And so, yeah, it was kind of like the... Plus, you know, it took a lot to work up to that. My daughter, my oldest daughter, thinks we're silly, of course, and so terribly old-fashioned to listen to music that way. But I'll tell you, though, it's nice to have a CD player like that, because when we, like, go to the library and want to check out some of, like, the books that are on CD or something, we hardly ever have to wait or anything. We can have our pick of just about anything in there because hardly anybody else has them these days, I guess.
Yeah,
and actually, up till a couple years ago, we still had a VCR too. So.
Yes. Yeah, it's really sad. All these things keep disappearing like that. It's crazy. I invited you on the show today because I wanted to talk about audio listening that we do with our kids. Because if we're listening to podcasts, we probably will be listening to other things. And if we're not, we should be. And I know that you listen to lots of different things because you're homeschooling and you're just a parent that likes listening to audio too. So have you got any recommendations for us today?
Oh, I do. And it's our house is one of those houses where, you know, we usually turn on some kind of music or story with breakfast and we're pretty much listening throughout the day. I know for me as a new mom, it was a good way to get out of the television habit. It was just as easy to turn on some music or turn on a podcast to listen to. So, I just wanted to talk about some of my favorites today, some of the ones that the kids really love too. As far as podcasts go, one of our favorite podcasts is the Barefoot Books podcast. And it's really neat. It's a mix of children's stories and songs, but they also feature some poetry too. And it's very global. They have stories from all over the world. And it's a very well-produced podcast. And it's always interesting to me how early my kids will have their attention grabbed by the Barefoot Books stories. She's four now, but even when my four-year-old was just a toddler, like 18 months, she would still sit and listen. Because they're short, they're a good size. I would say they're average about maybe 10 to 15 minutes a story, so it's perfect for a child's attention span.
Yes, yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. So those come out weekly, so it's kind of a treat. We know, you know, every week to, you know, mommy check and see what the new story is this week. So, yeah, Barefoot Books are definitely a good one to check out. And I would say it's interesting to me, too. They're my little kids like them, but my 10-year-old. My fifth grader also, mm-hmm. you know, sits and listens with us and is captivated by them too. So good quality stuff there.
Do you actually get some of the books and read along with it?
We do with some of them. We also, that tends to happen more. We have some of our favorites and that we'll keep. And then our library has some of the Barefoot Books. And we usually check out, there's one about princess stories that my middle two are really big into. Kind of along with that, it's an audio series. It works very similar to a podcast, although it's a paid service. It's called Sparkle Stories, but they have many free samples on the site also.
Yes.
And it works in a similar way. It's a weekly series, but they have different, five or six now, I think, different original stories that are audio for kids, but they also have a series that's more the classic stories, classic fairy tales. That my kids really like also.
And so when you're listening to the stories, where do you listen to them? Do you kind of sit down? There used to be a show in the UK, well, not a show, a radio program when I was a child called Listen With Mother. And it was on the radio and you would all kind of sit around the radio and listen to it But I don't know how everybody else listens to audio. What do you do?
We usually listen in the mornings at breakfast. That's kind of our, because the mornings are a little bit quieter around here before you get into the burst of the day. And that's kind of like our warm up to before we start homeschool. And it's also just a nice way. My kids aren't morning people. They're not very chatty people. And I am a morning person. I'm one of those upright and early bounce around kind of people. So it's a good way for us to kind of bridge and get on the same wavelength and then get in the same place in the morning to listen to the stories and then talk about the stories. So we usually listen in the morning, but we listen in the car a lot too when we're running errands and things. We have one of those, I'm sure most people do, where you can hook your iPod in to the speaker in your car and we listen. Well, it's because those are about, since they average about 10 to 15 minutes, both the Barefoot Books and the Sparkle Stories, it's good for errand running. We tried audiobooks in the car, and for errands it just didn't work as well for us because you don't want to stop and get out of the car when you're in the middle of your story.
Yes, we are having that exact problem at the moment. The boys are hooked on Eragon, and we've listened to Eragon in the car, and that took months, it seemed, and now we're on to Eldest, which is the second one, and this one's a library version, and so we've renewed it I can't imagine how many times, because it's only in one of the cars that we're using, and so it's always, can we go in this car, or so we can go on a long journey, they just want to drive, because we'll only listen to it when we're in the car. So it's fun, but it's hard work, and they really remember what just happened. I don't know if I could remember. It's been months that we've been listening to this show, but they absolutely love it. They really do.
Well, and I think being able to hear and get drawn into a story, even for a pre-reading child, it's so neat to have that, you know, fill up kind of your whole world. And when you're driving, you know, you can look out the window and you can be imagining the things and you're connecting that with what you're listening to. And because I like it too. But yeah, it's hard, a hard transition then when it's like, you know, a 20-minute errand and it's time to stop. So we've kind of learned to save the audiobooks for longer car trips, like you said. And then we do these for, and we're kind of, you know, with part of homeschool and just life with kids is that, you know, you're kind of out and about and doing things and going from here to there. So they're good transitions too for the person who's not the best car rider, the kid who isn't the best at waiting it out. A story makes it go a lot quicker. And
yes. That's cool. I interrupted you. I think you're going to tell a little bit more about Sparkle Stories or maybe go on to the next one, sir.
No, yes. Again, for my kids, they're about the perfect age. My kids, my bigger kids are 4 through 10, and then we have a 1-year-old. But the Sparkle Stories are for like ages 3 to 4, right on up to 9 and up. So it's been neat because that's another thing that everybody can listen to together. And that gets trickier, you know, finding something that appeases all the age groups.
Yes.
So, but yeah. And you can get, like I said, they have a lot of samples, but you can get a subscription to certain stories. One of the series my kids like are the Martin and Sylvia stories that Sparkle Stories offer. And they're just very gentle. There's some life lessons in there, but they're presented in a very gentle way. And the stories are interesting and very relatable because the main characters are kids that are the ages of my kids. And so I see connections getting made there, whether it's, you know, a gentle lesson about honesty or sharing or even like a change in seasons or a friend moving away. I see them making connections and taking bits of those stories and putting them into their real life. So
nice.
Definitely a favorite of ours.
I can see it now. I've just gone to their website, sparklestories.com, and I can see all the different things that you can get with that. And you can listen to samples as well, can't you? So it's not... Cool. Okay, I'll have all the links in the show notes so that everybody can come to pick these up.
Well, and then with my oldest, we've been listening to a podcast called On Six Legs, and it's an entomology podcast. it's fantastic. My brother is actually an entomologist and a beekeeper.
Oh, wow.
And so when he learned that my daughter was kind of hitting that buggy, you know, most kids go through that insect loving phase of life, much to the joy of their moms. And he actually, this is actually one of his former professors from Purdue University does this podcast. And it's, they're very short, again, maybe less than 10 minutes, but they're put together and he's very animated and funny, but it's a neat learning experience. And it's probably I would say once a month. They're not as on a regular production schedule as some of the other podcasts, but it's, if you have a kid who's interested in entomology and bugs, it's a neat one. And it's, you know, it doesn't talk down. It's good facts and good science, but it's just taught and presented in a really fun way. Yeah, Jillian enjoys that one a lot.
Oh, perfect. That's great that you can have a science podcast as well that's done at a level that the kids will really enjoy too. So that's kind of cool.
And it's, you know, it's an area I don't know a lot about. So yeah, that's one way. Thank goodness for the internet, because when there's something that one of my kids is interested in that I'm not an expert on, somebody out there will be. So
yes, yeah, exactly. Cool. Well, that's three really good choices so far. I'm writing these down. Thank you.
Good. Well, and then this one isn't a podcast, but speaking, you know, along the lines of things that we're listening to and things that are teaching, I don't know if you've heard of the Maestro Classics or not.
No, I haven't.
It's maestroclassics.com. And basically they've taken classical music and they kind of tell you like the backstory behind the story. They used to be on MTV here, like the Behind the Music. They would tell you like the backstory of the music video. And this is sort of like that for classical music for kids. Maybe tell you a little bit about, you know, the composer, or a little bit about the story, about maybe why the piece was written. You're hearing the music playing, but they're also giving you a little bit of the story about what happens within the piece, or why, you know, certain parts are important, or who the piece was written for, whether maybe that was a king or a specific event or who requested it. And so it's been a neat look for us into kind of the lives of composers too, making them seem more like living, breathing people instead of just dusty historical characters from a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh, that's really nice. I'm right there now looking at it, maestroclassics.com. And I can see the pizza and the wolf and the story of Swan Lake. And
those are ones that my kids will ask for over and over too. They each kind of have their favorite ones that they like. And
well, the one that I was thinking of, which sounded similar when you were saying it, was Classics for Kids. I think that's what it is. When there's an, I can't remember where she's from, but we listened to one that sounds similar, that she takes apart a classical piece and talks about it from the kid's point of view for about 4 or 5 minutes. It's not a really long one, but she'll play a part of it and then she'll talk about it. That's classical music as well, and that's really good. I think it's called Classic for Kids. Classics for Kids.
So I'm writing that down.
I'll look it up and make sure I put it in the show notes as well, so you can listen to it. But that's really good. We like listening to that too.
Well, and the Maestro Classics are longer, closer to an hour. So that's usually something when maybe we're also doing something with our hands at the same time, like painting or coloring or something to help us keep our focus. But yeah, those are definitely fun also. And I always learn something from them too that I didn't know beforehand. So
I like the fact that you can listen and do other things at the same time. Because a TV can be really distracting for actually getting other things done, because you're just drawn to standing in front of it. But I this is why I love audio so much, is that you can just get on and do other things at the same time. And the focus and concentration you can do for both. You can either listen really closely to what's going on, or be doing laundry or doing whatever else in the background and listening to something else.
Mm-hmm. And rocking your babies or... Exactly.
Yeah, middle of the night was a good time for me to listen to podcasts, because you wanted it to be dark and that they could nurse and just go straight back to bed. And so I would just, you know, pop it in and listen for a few minutes and then I could just go back to bed. It was great.
Yes, and so many evenings by the glow of the little screen.
Cool.
Well, and one of the last podcasts I wanted to talk about, this one is a good one for homeschooling parents, but I think also anyone who has I think kids in public school too. It's actually intended for parents, though my oldest daughter and I have listened to some of them together. But it's about writing and the writing process, and it's called Brave Writer. And the Brave Writer program's been around for a while. I think, I want to say since early 2000s, but the podcast is fairly new.
Okay.
But she has interviews with authors, like she had Melissa Wiley on there recently, and she has some interviews with different children's authors, but they also have segments specifically about the writing process. And she does them with her son, Noah, mm-hmm. who is I think she has 4 or 5 kids that they've homeschooled. But it's neat to hear as they talk about the writing process and different ages and stages, not only her perspective, Julie's perspective as a homeschooling mother teaching writing, but Noah's perspective looking back as a homeschooled kid about the different phases of writing.
All right.
And so as a homeschooling parent, I really appreciate that too, because it's neat to hear kind of what the view from the future is, the view down the road. But
yes,
but it's very neat. I like how she breaks. I would say if you were going to check it out, look for some of the earlier little mini series that she did just about, you know, what writing is like when you're pre-writing, like ages 4 and 5 and 6, and then how that transitions to where you get to, you know, onto writing through high school. And it was just, she's got some neat ideas for parents. There are different ways to encourage writing that aren't just, you know, sit down with a paper and a pencil. She really thinks out of the box. So it's been inspiring for me as a mom and a homeschooler. But I think it's also been beneficial as a parent just to get the perspective of what's going on in there. Because it's been a while since I was a 7-year-old learning to write, or a 9-year-old. And so to get that gentle reminder of what, you know, what's going on in their heads isn't always what's coming out on the paper, and how can we work with them to make that a more coherent process for them. And yeah, it's an excellent one. I hope to hear many good things from Brave Writer podcast in the future. I'm excited about it.
I think with the writing process as well, we as parents think of it from a parent's perspective about how the process should be. And we can forget how fun and exciting it can be to experiment using different media. That I remember with my first child, starting with pencil and paper, because that's what I knew from teaching and from everything else. It's like, okay, you can go ahead and do that. And very quickly, he let me know in no uncertain terms that this is not what I want to do. I don't want to be using this stuff. And it was like, really? And it was because from my perspective that was what kids did. Well, of course kids don't do that at all. They want to mess about with foam and shaving cream and do all sorts of like really fun things with writing. And so it sounds as if this type of show will remind us of those types of things, that we can use all sorts of different mediums. And I mean, I would have never have thought that shaving cream or salt on a cookie sheet would be a fun way of experimenting with writing. But once you really get into it, you see that they absolutely love it, and they could do it for ages without even thinking about it. Do you have the same experience at home?
Yes, we definitely do. Well, and it's for me, even after, because my oldest is such, she's just a natural writer, and that's what she keeps a journal on her own. And when she has thoughts and things, expressing them and writing is very easy for her. And then with my son, it's completely different. He's definitely a storyteller. You know, he will sit at the dinner table and tell you the entire story of his day. But writing it down is just not something at this point he's interested in at all. Mm-hmm. He has no, you know, It's not as easy for him, I don't think, and it's just not something he's interested in. So it was very shocking to me that, you know, it won't be just like it was with my other child here. I'm going to have to think out of the box a little bit more. That it was very foreign to me to think that you would even need coaxing into that. So yeah, with Max, we're definitely exploring other ways, because he's a gifted storyteller. It's just getting him to move from there to the page. So yeah, I've definitely learned some things.
Yeah, you'll definitely have to get him a microphone, won't you? And get him recording these stories. Maybe he'll be just one of these really good oral storytellers.
Maybe so. Yeah, and I'm sure number 3 will be something completely different.
Yes, that's always how it happens, isn't it? Completely different. You know, I have three boys and they are all very different when it comes to reading and writing and doing anything like that. Just their motivation to do things. And I would have thought, being boys, that they'd be a little similar. And, you know, they've come from their dad and me, so they have to be somewhat similar. But they are three very different ways of doing things. And so it's been really a journey for all of us to learn what their style is and how they write and what they do. So I think it's always going to be like that. It doesn't matter how many children you have, they're just going to keep throwing that curveball at you.
I think you're definitely right there.
Cool. Have you got any shows for parents that you have there?
Aside from the Brave Writer one, well, another pretty new podcast, and I think she's only done two or three episodes at this point. It's Kat, who writes the blog Inspired to Action.
Okay.
She has also been doing a podcast, and they're short, maybe 15 minutes or so, but the ones I've listened to, they're very, very encouraging, and she's definitely got an encourager's heart. She's the kind of person that you can imagine. Even if you didn't know each other, you could probably sit down and have a cup of coffee and bond and become good friends. And that conveys in her podcast. So I like to listen to that. It's good when you're having kind of a bumpy day. One of her podcasts was about, you know, not being perfect and how you're still a superhero to your kids, even if you don't do things perfectly, or like, you know, the next door neighbors. Because I think especially for moms, we can fall into that keeping up with the Joneses.
Yes. Yes.
And so...
Oh, now that sounds really positive and encouraging. I'll have to look that one up as well. So how do you find new shows or audio for your children? Where have been the best places for you to find them, do you think?
Well, I find actually some of the I read some blogs of different parents and different homeschoolers, and I find recommendations that way. But sometimes it's just, you know, putting in a topic in search in iTunes and going and looking at the reviews and just checking it out. I have this kind of 3 bites rule that I like to listen to something for 2 or 3 episodes and make a decision about it. And we've tried out some things that weren't good fits for us, but we found, you know, some really good gems that way too. But mostly I would say recommendations. Our librarian is fantastic and in the know about these kind of things. And she pretty much, when we turn in an audiobook, she's got another, oh, have you listened to this one yet? Or have the kids tried this out?
Well, that's good, because when you go to the library, I like that tip that you gave at the beginning, that not many people are using audiobooks, so you can go in and get your fill. And I bet you can probably order books from your district as well, so that you can get other audiobooks from other places to come to your library.
Yes, we can. Yes.
Yeah. So you've got quite a few different audios that you can listen to as well. That's kind of cool. Well, we have a nice long list here, don't
we? Yeah,
we have do. Barefoot Books, Sparkle Stories, On Six Legs, Maestro Classics, Brave Writer, Inspired to Action. Was there any more?
Well, I wanted to mention one. This one is actually not just audio. This one is a web show. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with Make or not, but this is actually kind of like the kiddie version. It's Sylvia's Super Awesome Mini Maker Show. Oh, it's fantastic. If you have a kid who's into science or any, I mean, the tagline of the show, I think, is something like anything cool worth making. And I would say, all my kids just love it. And one of those that they're always asking me, is the next Sylvia show out? But it's like a girl and her dad and her brother sometimes has a co-starring role. But they do all these fantastic different science experiments and crafts. And they're not just the typical craft, you know, that you think of, you know, like they've done everything from rockets to etching copper to screen printing. And it's the kind of thing, like, you really get in there with your hands and do it, and then they show you how you can do it too. So yeah, we have a big long list of super awesome mini maker things that we're wanting to try too. And I think the website's just sylviashow.com.
Okay.
But yeah, that's a must. If you have a kid who's into any kind of science or building kind of thing, that's a definitely a must check out, because it's the kid is the star of the show. And so it's neat for them to see. I love Bill Nye, but it's really neat to see that the kid is the one doing and making. And I think it's inspiring for the kids to see that too.
Oh, yeah. For real. I mean, I know my middle one and my oldest one love building completely, and the oldest one is totally into science. We had this conversation at the dinner table about cells, as you do. I don't know. I can't even remember how it came up now. And he was fascinated about cells and bones, and I was explaining that cells are very small, and they're like, how can you see it? And then got into microscopes, and I'm just thinking, gosh, how can we be talking about this at the dinner table? It's just like, how do you get like this? And he said that his body book doesn't go into that much detail. It just says your body is made up of millions of cells. And he's like, well, that doesn't really help me, you know, as a 9-year-old. He's like, I don't know what that means. And so he wanted to know a little bit more, and I was explaining a little bit more to him, and they were just fascinated. I was like, okay, we need to eat dinner now, you know, come on.
And pass the bread and
yeah, like, let's go a bit faster, because we had to get out to go to Scouts. But but apart from that, I was really surprised at how much detail he wanted to go into with that. And the other children just lap it up. They're asking the questions as well. So this sounds like a show that might be worth having.
I would love it. Well, and you know, there are those things that we pass by or, you know, have on our bodies every day or see outside. But kids are always, they're so great about asking those questions and not just accepting things at face value. And I think that's one of the cool gifts of being a parent, is that because you have kids, then you also can't just accept everything at face value. You have to find some answers and ask some questions too. So.
Yeah,
keeps it interesting.
Yes. Oh, yes, it does. I think sometimes I keep thinking I should write down some of these questions, because they can really floor you. They just come out with these things. You're like, wow, like, where did that come from? Like, how did that come about? But
write them down and save them for about 20 years and when their kids are asking them questions.
That's a good idea. You know, I should do that. I keep saying I should, and I should get that done. Well, that's a really good list that you've got there of shows that will be great for entertaining and educating both of us parents and for the children, so that we can check them out. And I guess most of these you can either go to the website or find them on iTunes to look those up, would you say?
Yes.
Cool. You are blogging regularly, and you have 4 children at home, and you homeschool. How are you doing this, Cara?
Very carefully.
Okay.
Well, actually, someone asked me last night on Twitter, you know, how are you doing it all? I'm not doing it all. Like I told you, I have the laundry pile here and the dust bunnies and things to prove that I'm not doing it all. But I'm very lucky that I have a husband who had this kind of crazy dream and idea right along with me. So I definitely have an extra set of willing hands around here. And in fact, this year with homeschooling, Chris has been taking over some of that in the evenings. He and my oldest both love Greek mythology, so they're actually doing evening homeschool together. And he jumps right in there with most things and helps me out. So it's not a single solitary journey. But, there are days, I think, just like anybody has, where I wonder what in the world I was thinking taking all these things on. But most of the time it works well for us, and it's the right choice for us. And we have these days that when you have a day that flows really smoothly and everything falls into place there, it's kind of like the reward and the motivation to keep going on the days when everything doesn't fall into place, and when you feel like you're kind of going against the grain with every choice and every decision and meal all day long.
And where are you blogging at? Tell us where you blog.
I'm the editor at simplekids.net, and then we also have a blog at rockingranola.com, where we do more of our homeschool endeavors and some crafting things. I'm a knitter too, so that's also a key to the sanity and not hurting people. I have excellent stress reliever there. So
Very good, very good. And so, just at the end here, we have a few getting to know you questions that I like to ask people at the end of the show. And the first question is, what are two actions that you've taken in the last 2 years that have had a positive effect on your life?
Ah, yes. Well, I would say the first one is, as I mentioned, we have a one-year-old too. And I think it took me four kids to really get the cliche that they say about, you know, rest when the baby rests. And I can't believe it, but it took me 4 years or four kids to really get that and understand it. I'm glad to say that I'm now the mom that, you know, when she falls asleep, I will sit and hold her for a while and, you know, act like I don't have anything more important to do, because really I don't. You know, the dishes will be there and the mess will be there. Or, you know, if I set her down, I don't always immediately then go run and, you know, hop on the computer for work or go start cleaning things up. Sometimes I just sit and read a book too, or knit and do things, you know, low key, that let that rest still be my break and my downtime. And I think this fourth time around, I can confidently say I'm a lot calmer and happier mom than I was with my first. So that's definitely made a big positive impact. And the other thing I would say that's really made a positive effect on our life in the last couple years is that we had with my oldest a habit of having a Friday night. We call it the Friday night nest, and having a Friday night get together where it was that family time, whether we were watching a movie or playing games together. And then there's actually a 5-year age difference between my oldest and the next kids. And when the other kids came along and, you know, my husband's work shift changed and life just got there. And that's one of the things that fell by the wayside. Mm-hmm. And we really made an effort, especially within the last 18 months or so, to get back in the habit of that regular Friday night time. And if it doesn't happen on Friday, making sure there's at least some time during the week where all of us connect and are together and we turn off the phones and, you know, there are no outside intrusions. And we just focus on being a family without any place else to go or anything else to do, but something fun together. Especially as my daughter gets older, I think it's important to have that kind of, she's only going to get more social and have more things to do. And I like to feel like there's that grounding place for all of us. Yes. At home.
You have to really guard that time though, don't you? Because it's really easy for everybody to just disappear because things just come up. I know my husband does shift work and he has a rotating shift pattern, so there's never one week that's ever the same. And so what with him in and out all the time, it's really easy for me to say, you know, I'm just too busy, I'm just too tired this Friday, because we have a Friday night meeting that we all have together and we all play and do something together. And it's really easy come Friday to just kind of say, oh no, I can't be bothered to do something, I'm too tired. And it takes the kids to remind us all week, and we really look forward to, are we going to watch DVD this week? Are we going to play a game? What are we going to do? And so we have to really plan it and make sure it's on the calendar. We all keep talking about it to make sure it happens some weeks, because, you know, you just get really drained. But it's good when you've got these older children, because they really remind you that they really want this to happen. And it's good.
Yeah. Well, and you're exactly right. A week skipped can turn into, you know, two or three or months. And yeah, I can't pinpoint how we stopped, but I'm glad that we started again. So yeah. And the kids definitely keep us on track with that. You're right.
So what were you doing 12 years ago? And I say 12 years because it's 2000s. And so then you'll be able to probably remember, because it was such a landmark year.
yes. Although that was, my husband always teases me that like the biggest New Year's Eve of my life, and I actually was sick.
Oh no.
Missed it all.
Oh no.
So here's hoping that I, you know, he teases me about that quite often. But 12 years ago, Chris Sitrafer and I were newlyweds. Mm-hmm. And I was the assistant manager of a tiny little bookstore, and he actually had just gotten hired as at his current job in finance and was still doing some bartending on the side. So we were kind of in that crossover between your post university life in real life. Kids weren't quite on our radar yet, although we're probably at the stage where we're talking about starting a family. But yeah, you know, young and full of all these ideas about what marriage was going to look like and parenting was going to look like, 99% of which we have found were totally false.
But yes.
I'm very thankful that we weren't as smart as we thought we were.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I completely agree. I feel the same way. We were in a similar situation. Yeah, we were newlyweds too. And we had our life in front of us of all the things that we were going to do and how clever we were.
Indeed.
Oh, gosh. I'm just so glad that we didn't do half the things that we said that we wanted to do, because it just can't work that way. It's amazing how things change so much in such a short period of time.
Indeed. Indeed. And if someone had tried to tell me that 12 years ago, I wouldn't have believed them anyway. So
no.
It was good to go through that. And I'm glad to be on the other side of it. But yes, I think if myself now went back and maybe had dinner with myself 12 years ago, they would both be surprised.
Yes. You know, I wrote a post about that recently, about going back and talking to your younger self. I'll have to link to that in the show notes.
Oh, yes.
Because it was a really interesting experience just talking about it. It was one night my husband and I were having a date night, and we were talking about what would we say to our younger selves, and we were just chatting about it, and I was like, you know, I should do a post about this from, you know, it's from a parent's perspective and do that. And he kind of rolled his eyes like you do.
Well,
when you think of these things, like, oh, okay, a blog post. But yeah, it was kind of exciting to talk about those things.
Yep, we'll put a pin. I often say I should write a letter to myself now to read, you know, when my daughter's a teenager.
Yes.
Just to see that, because I'm sure that transformation will happen again, because I have all kinds of ideas right now about parenting teens, and
yeah,
we'll see.
It's going to be an interesting time for all of us. So what's your favorite play activity in your household at the moment?
Right now, all of the little flecks, especially the 4 and the 6-year-old, are all about superheroes and dressing up. That is the play of the day. And they crack me up because, you know, they're, you know, the good guys and the bad guys, except they're always together. So they're either both the good guys or both the bad guys.
Oh, that's really funny. Very good, very good. Today I've been talking to Cara Fleck, editor of simplekids.net, about audio recommendations for kids and for parents. And you can visit Cara by going to simplekids.net and going to her website, which is rockinggranola.com. Thanks for being on the show today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
I'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, this is Sally Hoy from Fairy Dust Teaching at blogspot.com, and you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Welcome back to the show. I just wanted a quick moment to talk about equipment. I know lots of us listen to podcasts via so many different ways. We can listen via our smartphones, our Android, our iPods, our iPhones, and all of the different ones that you can get there. I have a really old smartphone, and I can listen to other shows via on the go by using Stitcher. That's the app of choice that I have for that. And I know that lots of people have iPhones and they'd love to have a way of listening to podcasts and shows like this. Now, we've had Ruth from parentalgeekery.com. She sent in a really brilliant explanation of Downcast using that app. I'm not an iPhone user, so I'm not sure about which apps that you can use, but I know that that's one app that you can use to also download any podcast that you'd like to listen to that way too. I've included on this show notes 114, a video of how to download podcasts on an iPhone. So I really hope that that's useful for you. If you're new to podcasting, that's another way that you can listen without having to go to the website each time. For those people that don't want to subscribe using iTunes or have a standalone system, but they want to listen on the go, that's a way to do it too. So if you go over to the website, you'll be able to watch this video and it will give you a really simple instructions about how to do that in video format. Cara also mentioned about when you are in a car, how you can listen to podcasts too. And I'm not sure, we kind of went quite fast over that. We have a connector that we can just connect into our iPod and we stick the iPod in and then it gets plugged into, for us it's a cigarette lighter of our car, and you switch a certain channel on the radio and we'll be able to listen, play your iPod through the car radio, and you can listen to any of the stories like Cara was talking about earlier and any of the other subscriptions that you already have. I know some cars you don't have to do that, you can use Bluetooth, and the way in which your phone is set up, or maybe you have to set it up, you press a few buttons and it's able to communicate between the phone or the device to the car. Also at home we have a standalone system where we have iPod stations around the house, so we can plug in and push our iPod into those places and listen as we go along during the day. So we're not actually chained to having to listen via a static computer or laptop. And for us that really works because we can take it anywhere and we can listen to many more different things. There are kids podcasts that you can listen to, there are parenting podcasts that you can listen to, there's fun, entertainment, all sorts, comedy, all different types of shows and podcasts that are around. So I just wanted to just talk really briefly about equipment, and if you have any questions about how to subscribe or a different way to subscribe, then I'd be really interested in hearing from you to hear what you're using and how you are connecting to podcasts. I mentioned at the beginning shaving cream on patio glass, thanks to Happy Hooligans, and I wanted to share the link with you. That's happyhooligans.wordpress.com, and she has the title called Painting with Shaving Cream. Now, I love that activity because it's something that you can do, because most of us have lots of window space, don't we, at home, and that's a sensory activity that most kids will absolutely love. If you see the pictures, you'll really see how this is something that I'm sure all ages will absolutely identify with. In October, there's a really special meme that happens by The Nester. She does a special 31-day meme where she asks everybody to write on a topic, a broad topic, for 31 days for the whole month of October. And boy, has everybody come out with some amazing ideas. If you go over to thenester.com and type in 31 dayers for 2012, you'll see that there is a list of about 1,200 or so at the last count. There's many more, I'm sure, by now, of people who are doing 31-day topics. That means for each day for the month of October, they will be writing about this particular subject. Now, there is a huge range of different types of subject. Obviously, there's the play activities and kids related parenting slant that I would be particularly interested in, but also you've got to remember that there are going to be things there on homeschooling, finance, food, I'm looking at the list now as I'm telling you this, crafting, faith and faith-based work, storage, organization, finding your joy, intentional parenting, learning how to just be me, following through, having a positive attitude, how to get things done. There's all sorts of activities and ideas that will be going along with that. October is a really good month for trying some of these little ideas out. It's almost like a mini series. For a whole month, you get to go through systematically through different topics, and I've bookmarked 3 or 4 31-day series that I would like to follow along with, that I'll be able to look at each day and get some inspiration, get some comfort and encouragement to be able to try out a few new things. One of the places that I really love that I've bookmarked is called housewifeintown.com, and she is doing a 31 days to healthy school lunches, and her school lunch presentations are really amazing. I would really encourage you to go over there and have a look at them. Some people have got 31 day Pinterest boards where you can see which ones that they are actually following and following along, writing posts and responding to posts and really generally getting involved in what they're doing. We are also doing a 31 day series at play-activities.com. Ours is called 31 Days of Sensory Play, and that is a loose message of sensory play, but I know that you'll really enjoy it, so I'd love for you to go over to the site and have a look at some of those activities, especially if you've never been over to the site before. It'd be lovely to have you. The blog is part of the podcast. These are all part and parcel of the same thing, Play Activities, Raising a Playful Tot. And I think you'll really enjoy some of the activities that we've got going on there. Our guest today, Cara, also has a 31-day series that she's doing. It's called 31 Days of Unplugged Play. And so I know that you'll really enjoy that one too. That's at simplekids.net. So if you're looking for some things to do, I'd like to encourage you on the show and give you some resources and places to go. So if you're looking for some 31-day activities, whether that's now or whether you want to bookmark them and go back to them next year or in the future, here's a chance for you to be really creative and do that. And look for thenesta.com 31-dayers and 2012 and bookmark that. Look forward to hearing from you when you come over to look at the sensory play 31 days in the future. Just a quick reminder, 3 for 3. What were the last 3 parenting blogs or play blogs that you read recently? It'll be good for us to share and learn from each other the places that we like to go to get our play knowledge and get us excited about play. On the website, or you can go to raisingplayfultots.com/feedback. You'll go directly to a page where you just have to click a button and leave your 3 places that you've gone to, the 3 websites that you go to that you just went to, the last 3 websites that you've just gone to. Just leave your name, where you're from, and the 3 websites, and we'd love to hear about them. We'll play them on the show. That's about it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to Raising Playful Tots podcast. If you love the show and you found value in it, would you do me a favor and go over to iTunes and give us a review? And if you really love it, we'd love a 5-star rating and a review. If you'd like to comment on this show, go to the show notes at raisingplayfultots.com/114 and scroll down to the comments section. Comments and questions, I love to hear from you. So if you're following any of the 31-day series, I'd love to hear which ones that you are following. If you are doing a 31-day series, I'd also love to hear what you're doing. It's always good to know what everybody's doing in our community and to be able to support them. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 114. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye!